Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. Does the enemy have a legal right to stop your healing, hinder your hearing from God, and prevent total freedom from addictions of all kinds? I mean all kinds. My guest says, yes, it happened to him. Now, my guest has been in ministry many years, but he had a life-changing encounter that has changed his life in the most phenomenal way. And he has been changing as many people's lives when he had this supernatural breakthrough as he possibly can, because frankly, every believer needs this. What is the sin of bloodline iniquities?
Well, Sid, bloodline iniquity is actually the generational transfer of self-will. The word iniquity, essentially, when you look at the roots of it, is self-will.
Meaning the opposite of God-will.
Exactly. Iniquity was what infected the human bloodline from the Garden of Eden even up till today.
So someone like you could be dealing with a lifetime problem, and number one, it had nothing to do with you. It had to do with an ancestor whose name you don't even know and whose deed you don't even know. But you've been a believer a long time and you're still dealing with this, and you know you are. You've been able to cover it up. But I want to know about how God revealed this to you. And here's the point I want to make. When you find out how God revealed this amazing supernatural gift that every believer has,
yes,
it's not just for what he's talking about. It is for everything. I mean, everything that you're dealing with in your life. You had, there's lots of people that have anger problems, mm-hmm. Bill, but you had an anger problem as a young child.
Yes.
What did you used to do?
When I was just a little guy, the toddler age, my mother told me that I would get so angry and frustrated at certain times, I'd get down on all fours and beat my head on the floor until I had a bruised place on my forehead. Now, that's not natural or normal behavior for a toddler. And obviously, as I got older, I grew out of that type of behavior, but I still had a very serious problem with very intense anger, a short fuse. I'm not just talking about getting mad at stuff. I'm talking about literally going nuclear with my emotion of anger.
You know, it's hard to believe because I don't know you well, but I've spent time with you yesterday. I don't see that person. I don't even see it under the surface.
The iniquity is gone. When I got born again in 1977, that anger didn't leave me. Now, there were some sins that I was involved in that I got completely delivered of. I literally had a love affair with tobacco. And I'd eat it, smoke it, chew it, you name it. I love tobacco. Supernaturally delivered from that. I was supernaturally delivered from alcohol. I was a borderline alcoholic at the point that I got born again at age 22. But the anger didn't leave me. It was just as strong when after I got born again as what it was before. So my wife and I were married in 1982, and she became the brunt of my short trigger. And the first 5 years of our marriage were not fun. And I realized if I don't get a handle on this, I'm going to destroy my marriage. So I cried out to God and asked Him, you know, you got to help me with this. Well, He began to teach me how to use my faith to control the anger, but I wasn't delivered from it. And as long as I stayed strong in the Word and strong in faith and didn't let up on it, I'd be able to catch myself and not let the anger run wild. But if I ever got lazy in the Word or tired, then that thing would take over again. And obviously,
And here you're in ministry, you're a believer all these years.
Yes.
And you cannot get a grip on this anger.
Exactly.
What did you think was going on?
Well, I had all kinds of thoughts about it. I thought maybe I've got a devil or whatever. I didn't know. I was willing to go through whatever kind of deliverance I needed to go through to get free from it. But one day...
But you wouldn't have gotten free with what most Christians call deliverance.
No, because it wasn't a spirit. A spirit was taking advantage of the iniquity that gave him the legal right to.
It's a legal thing.
It's a legal thing.
You did nothing wrong.
No. It wasn't my fault. The iniquity had come out of my bloodline through both my mother and my father's family background. They both had a background of being raised in households that had a lot of anger in it. And I don't know how far back that went, but it was a strong enough root to it that I couldn't overcome it with my faith or get rid of it.
Well, how did you overcome it?
I found out about the courts of heaven. And in 2017, I began to...
Now, the courts of heaven, we've interviewed a number of people that have taught on this.
Yes.
This is not being caught up in the Spirit and going to heaven. This is having the revelation of the Word where it says you're in two places at one time.
Yeah,
like I'm here, but I'm also seated at the right hand of God the Father in the Messiah simultaneously. Therefore, based on the revelation of the Word, I can go to heaven because I'm already there, whether I know it or not, according to the Word, anytime I want to. Go ahead.
Yes. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. All of these things are spiritual dimensions that we just by faith step over into because you're right, we're already there from the spiritual dimension.
Right.
So the Lord spoke to me one afternoon, this was in the summer of 2017, and He said, I want you to bring that anger before my court. So the Holy Spirit just very gently led me to it through just a simple prayer of repentance. And this is essentially what I said, Lord, I repent for the generational iniquity of anger that is in my bloodline. I don't know how it got installed in our bloodline. I don't know who committed the original sin of this anger, but I repent for it. And I ask for the blood of Jesus to purge and cleanse me of this terrible habit of anger that I cannot control. Maybe at the most 10 or 15 minutes in just working with the Holy Spirit in what we call the courts of heaven. And I sensed a change. It seemed like a pressure lifted from me. But about 2 weeks later, I had the opportunity to have dinner with my son, who at the same age of two, he exhibited the same behavior.
So it's that bloodline iniquity that passed to Bill and then from Bill to his son.
Correct. I certainly didn't teach him to get down on all fours and beat his head on the floor.
When you saw him do it, did you recognize that's what
I knew exactly
did?
What my mother was standing right there along with my wife, Lori, and my mother said, that's what you used to do. Now, nobody taught him that. It came out of the bloodline iniquity. And so I knew that was in him because I recognized it. But I didn't know that he was still dealing with it at this time, which he was around his mid-20s. So we had dinner one night, about 2 weeks after I had gotten free. And the Lord told me, said, tell Grant what you did with the anger in court. So I did. I went through the whole story. And he was sitting there listening to it. And after I got through, he said, when did you do that, Dad? And I said, it was about 2 weeks ago. And he went, well, that's interesting because it was about 2 weeks ago that I quit waking up mad to the world.
He would wake up like
he
that?
He was mad before he ever woke up. Actually, that iniquity, if you don't stop it somewhere in the generational history of it, it'll get stronger and more deeply rooted. And that's where this thing was headed with him. And he sensed the change. And since that time, he has not been waking up mad at the world. I describe it this way. When I would get mad, I couldn't find the brake pedal. Now I've got a brake pedal.
Now, I'm curious now. You've really got my curiosity on your son. Were you praying specifically that he would be set free at the same time as you prayed for yourself?
I never mentioned him in the court case.
And he wasn't present?
He wasn't present.
Boy, we serve a good God.
Oh, I tell you what. Glory to God.
Now, I want you to understand this and understand it well. It might not be your lack of faith that is blocking healing and many of your other prayers. It could be the mystery of iniquity. Most do not even know about this mystery. I guess that's why it's called a mystery in the Bible. Next.
Call now and get Bill Dennington's powerful brand new book, Breaking the Strongholds of Iniquity, and his anointed three-part audio series, 7 Steps to Freedom, your guide to breaking bloodline iniquity. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9684. In Bill Dennington's book, Breaking the Strongholds of Iniquity, he reveals how it is possible for new covenant believers to have open doors to the enemy through generational sin. Through this book, you will learn how to recognize the mystery of iniquity operating in your life, overcome generational curses that try to hijack God's divine purpose and destiny, remove the spiritual roots of iniquity in your generational bloodline, find freedom and deliverance by approaching Jesus as the righteous judge, stop accepting delay to answered prayer, and experience accelerated breakthroughs, healing, and miracles. Discover how to apply the full redemptive power of Jesus to your bloodline and experience the supernatural freedom He's made available to you. You will also receive Bill's anointed 3-part audio series, 7 Steps to Freedom, your guide to breaking bloodline iniquity. Through this 3-part audio series, you will begin to experience true deliverance from the things that have plagued you. Understand how the blood of Jesus can cleanse you and remove iniquity out of your life and out of your family. Discover how the blood of Jesus can silence every accusation made against you by the enemy.
On the 3rd CD, I actually lead you through a sample court case that you can do yourself and take whatever generational iniquity that you know you're dealing with right now and find yourself being free from that iniquity. And when you do it, you'll experience the liberty that Jesus bought and paid for.
Don't miss out on getting Bill Dennington's powerful brand new book, Breaking the Strongholds of Iniquity, and his anointed 3-part audio series, 7 Steps to Freedom, your guide to breaking bloodline iniquity. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9684. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9684 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
Bill, what is the mystery of iniquity?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 has this little phrase in it talking about the mystery of iniquity. The word mystery there just simply means that which has been hidden or covered. That word actually is found quite a bit in the New Testament, even with regarding to the mystery of redemption before it was unveiled after Christ was risen. But in this instance, the devil is trying to hide the iniquity so that he can maintain the legal rights it's providing to him. That there are 3 specific scriptures in the New Testament that tell us that we need to purify, purge, and cleanse ourselves. Now, our spirits were taken care of by the born-again experience, and God cleaned our spirit up. We couldn't do that. But you got to renew your mind, and then you have to go to work on taking care of what is in your physical body, the passions of the flesh, because this, your physical body is actually called in the New Testament corrupt and defiled. So the defilement is these things that are in our bloodline history that many times we're completely unaware of that fuel the fire of these behaviors that people have a hard time after they're born again being able to bring it under control. People that are addicted to all kinds of things, pornography and getting caught up in all kind of devious sexual activity, alcoholism, drug addiction, you whatever is in particularly addictive in its type of how it operates.
But you teach even health conditions.
Yes.
Like you've been praying and praying for your high blood pressure to be normalized. And everything you do, even the medicine, it's not even working. You had high blood pressure.
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
It hasn't been all that long ago, Sid, that at the beginning of this year of 2020, I had an attack of high blood pressure that lasted, it actually began to hit me on a Sunday morning just before I was getting ready to go to church to preach. I pushed through all of that and went and preached anyway. When I came back home from church, my blood pressure was up in the 160, 161 over the high teens, like 116 to 118. That's dangerous territory. And it was staying in that realm all night long, Sunday night into Monday morning. And Lori was praying for me. Yeah, my wife Lori. She was praying for me and checking my blood pressure every 30 minutes because if it got too high, we were going to have to go to the hospital.
Right.
But that Monday morning, my son-in-law Kelsey came over. The Lord had given him a couple of scriptures that he shared with me, which did actually speak to me some important things that I need to know. But then we felt impressed again to go to the court of heaven. And we just stepped over by faith. We didn't feel anything or hear anything. We just, by faith, stepped over. And I asked the Lord as the righteous judge, I don't know what I'm dealing with here, but I have a sense that this is not something that is just a sickness. It's tied to iniquity. And I heard one word, Rosicrucianism, which is the root to all of the secret societies like the Masons and all of that. And so I knew, okay, that's something that's in my bloodline and I need to repent for it, so which I did. And right after I got through repenting for that, I began to feel really tired because I never did get any sleep the night before.
Yeah, you're so worried.
I was exhausted. So I told my wife, Lori, and Kelsey, I said, I think I'm going to go lay down and take a nap. So I did. Now, just before I went to take a nap, my blood pressure was 140 over 114. 2 hours. I slept like a rock for 2 hours. I didn't take any medication, didn't see any doctors. I just took a nap after we did the court case and got rid of that iniquity. When I woke up from that nap, my blood pressure was 120 over 80, and there was about a week or so later, the blood pressure started getting high again.
And by the way, many people get legally healed.
Yes.
And the devil wants to see if they'll take their sickness back.
Yep.
Because if you will, that's the only power the devil has.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happened. He came right around the corner, came back to Bill. What happened?
I knew where the devil made the mistake was...
He almost overplays his hand.
Exactly. I knew I had been delivered from the iniquity that gave him the legal right to do what he had done.
So what
now,
did you do?
I just went on the battlefield and told him, said, no, you don't have any more legal right to do this. In the name of Jesus, you get your filthy hands off of my physical body now.
You did it just like that.
Within just a couple of hours, my blood pressure was back down to normal.
But had you accepted that lying symptom,
yes,
you would be dealing with it right now.
Exactly.
And most people, that's the problem.
Yes. He comes in and says, well, it didn't work that time.
Yeah.
Oh, it worked.
Amen.
And I knew it. And I wasn't going to take the lie. I ran him off, and I haven't had any more high blood pressure since then.
Now, you teach on something that very few, I mean, look, just what he taught on now, most of you didn't know. But I'm going to tell you something for sure you don't know. And that is this bloodline iniquity, whether it's sickness or marital problems or financial problems or just insomnia or anything that you're dealing with right now. Did you know it could skip a generation?
Yes,
which
it
means
can.
If your father's an alcoholic and you're not, you figure, I'm home free. My kids won't be alcoholics. What would you say to that?
It will skip a generation because that's one of the principles of the mystery of iniquity. He'll sometimes try to disrupt the pattern to make you think that it's not a real problem. So you have to be aware of the fact that if you can see it back in your parents, your grandparents, and if you're blessed enough to have great-grandparents and your siblings, you can look at the behavioral patterns that have been in the family that you know are not from God and pretty well discern what the nature of those iniquitous things are. Those are the things that you have a right to go into the court of heaven and repent for and see the power of the blood of the Lamb cleanse it and change take place in your life and in your family's life.
Yesterday, you took communion at our prayer meeting, our staff prayer meeting, and you had a revelation that I knew was true, but it just like vibrated all over me. And that is when you led us in communion, you said there's no time in heaven and that the benefits of the crucifixion, it's like it's going on right now as you explain.
Yes.
As you take communion.
Yes, exactly. We're governed in a realm that is totally dominated by time. But when you got born again, your spirit actually operates in the timeless realm. Your outer man is perishing, but your inward man is renewed day by day. That's done by the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And in heaven, there is no time. It's eternal. There is no past. There's no future. Everything is now. So Calvary is never yesterday in heaven. There is a continual awareness of what Jesus did in His death, burial, resurrection, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. And the other thing is that blood He shed on the cross is in the heavenly holy of holies. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 tells us that it's still speaking today. It's speaking for us. Everything that He died to get into our hands, it's speaking the testimony we need to agree with when we do step into the court. That blood is absolutely one of the most powerful things you could ever engage with.
I want to leave you with this thought. Many of you that are watching have made Jesus your Savior, but have you made Him Lord?